Well, this is our third session. It's January the 12th?
11th,
2012. And I'm sitting here with my mother again, and we're going to go through a few things, and she's got a few recollections that she wants to go back to. What did you want to talk about?
Well, Christmas wasn't much at any place out in the country. And I remember we always got about a bushel of fruit. That was more fruit than I'd ever seen, even in the grocery store. And one day my daddy came in from town in the car, and he came in the house, and I ran to the car as fast as my little legs would carry me, and there was a guitar in that car. I tuned it before we ever got it in the house. It may have been for all of us, but I got it. And also, my brother, Curtis, got a BB gun. I can remember that, so there wasn't any good place to shoot it around the house, so we decided to go up to the road, main road where people drove, and we was going to see how far it would shoot. So he said, well, you just keep walking. And we finally I said, I don't think it'll shoot any further than this. So I stopped, and he shot me.
How far did you think?
Shot me in the thigh.
Got you in the thigh.
It was from my gate, our gate that we went out to get on the road to our mailbox, and that was about about a block and a half or two blocks.
Wow.
In the city, and it shot me in the thigh. And I thought about that. That was funny. But I don't remember much about Christmas. We didn't have a tree or anything like that. And we all grew up just that way. No Christmas, no gifts, and not very much showing of affection. And it's been that way with me all of my life since then. I can't hardly show affection to anyone. I don't know whether it scares me or not, but Daddy didn't want Clayton to touch me. And he saw a picture of me and him together, and Clayton had his arm around me, and I got in trouble for that. And so I'm going back to school where the county meet, it was called, where all the schools competed with each other. And one of the things that was going to take at Jonesboro High School, there was a basketball game. And I think Clayton won in that basketball game, but we were there, and my daddy was there, and me and Clayton decided to get together at the gym, and so we sat in the door of the car at the front door of the gym, and my daddy saw us sitting out there, and he came out and got me out of that car. And it just really burned me up. I wasn't doing anything wrong. So the next morning, before anybody got up, I decided to go see Clayton. And it was about 15 miles as a crow flies. It's further than that by road, but I cut across everybody's field, and I ran off from home. And I got almost to... I got past Arnett, Texas, and here come Daddy. And he picked me up and took me over to Mr. Bell's, to Clayton's house. And that's where Mr. Bell and Clayton decided that we were not to go together anymore. And so it didn't stop us from seeing each other. But Clayton didn't get, he had a truck that he drove. And he was 14 or 15 years old. And I mean, when you got old enough to drive a truck, you drove a truck or whatever. And so Mr. Bell took the car away from him, the truck away from him. And so he would get away to town, and I would get away to town, and we could go to a show. And sometimes on Saturdays, everybody went to town. And all the country people went to town and took their milk and their eggs and everything and stocked up with groceries. And me and Clayton, there was a courthouse and there was a square. And we would sit in someone else's car and spoon. That's what you called it then. We were spooning. And right around the courthouse, and I remember the people would come to their car and we'd be in it. And there was nothing wrong with it. They acted like they expected somebody to be in it.
Okay, tell me, let's talk about, what is spooning?
Spooning is courting.
Yeah, but what, you were in the car of someone you didn't know.
Yes.
And you were spooning. Does that
yes.
mean you were just sitting next to each
talking,
other?
Talking. But it's the first time I was in a car. I don't know if it was which time it was, but the first time Clayton ever kissed me. He kissed me on the forehead whenever it was time for us to leave the car we were sitting in. He kissed me on the forehead. That's the first kiss I ever got from him.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of something because when I was very, very young, we went to Gatesville quite a few times. And I can still see E.R. Black, the store. Tell us about your Uncle Eston, E.R. Black.
Okay, Uncle Eston Black was Della's husband, and Della was my mother's sister, older sister. And they had a grocery store, and that's where everybody took their eggs, that's where everybody bought their groceries and everything. And I started checking groceries at 16 for my uncle at this grocery store. And so even whenever I got ready to draw Social Security, he had paid in for me. That was the only one that did, even up in Rhode Island and everywhere else. They just said they took it out and they put it in their pocket. So that's the reason I don't get a lot of Social Security money.
Tell me about the store.
It was a huge store, and because everybody went there, and
sort of like the Walmart.
Well,
did you have more than food? Was there more things than food?
Oh, yeah.
And stuff?
Oh, yeah. Everything. And it was, you can still see signs of Laird's Department Store. And it is north on the other end of the block from Uncle Eston's store. And Uncle Eston could play the organ, and he could play the piano. And even at that young age, we had a Hayes Quartet. And it consisted of me and Wani. Wani sang alto, sister sang soprano, my brother sang baritone, and I sang high tenor. And we sang at the reformatory, we sang at schools. And we didn't sing just gospel. Most everything was gospel. But we sang other songs too. The Chipmunks.
Did you really?
Yes, we did.
Oh my goodness.
And the Little Red Schoolhouse. And I can't remember. We sang with them also. The Rowe Sisters sang as a trio.
Is that R-O-W-E?
Yes. No, I think it's R-O-E.
R-O-E.
I'm thinking it is. But one of the girls' names was Orpha.
Orpha?
O-R-P-H-A, Orpha.
Okay.
And I don't remember the name of the two other girls, but Orpha, I saw, after the Bell family started singing, we sang a lot at Killeen, and she was the organist at the Killeen, at Faith Temple.
Oh.
And I think, and then I spotted her again at a nursing home, and I think she's still alive.
Wow.
She was 92 the last time I saw her, and she had, her hands were all deformed from arthritis, and so she couldn't play anymore, but the last time I saw her, she was 92, and she was slipping away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's still around or not.
Well, since we're on the subject of you and your brother and sisters singing, let's talk a little bit more about that. But I want to come back to the store, because I want a good picture of that. So you can be thinking about that. We're going to paint a really good picture of Uncle Eston's store. But when you sang, you said you sang songs other than gospel. And so you sang at schools and the prison. So were you singing a cappella or were
churches?
You singing?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I've tried to remember. But I imagine that Uncle Eston was at least trying to play for us.
You might have been playing guitar.
No. Oh, I didn't think about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
We were talking about Christmas at that time, but
yeah.
Was that a Christmas gift?
Yes.
Y'all got a guitar.
We got a guitar.
And it
was acoustic.
Yeah.
It was an acoustic guitar.
You taught yourself how to play it, or did somebody help you?
Well, my mother showed me how.
Oh, yeah.
She showed me all the chords. But the day I tuned it to what you call open. And you just hit the second string at the top, and then hit the harmonizing three strings, and then you played with a knife.
Okay.
But that's how I tuned it the first time, because I didn't know how to tune one.
So the first time you played it, you actually tuned it like a banjo, where it is a chord.
Oh, is that the way a banjo is?
A banjo is...
Well, that's the only one I don't know about.
If you took a banjo and just strum it, it would be a chord, like G or C or
okay.
something.
Okay, yeah, that's the way it was.
And so you have to play a banjo differently than you do a guitar. But you tuned it so that it would sound right if you just strummed it.
Yes.
And then every time you fretted it, it changed the chord.
Yes.
I see. Well, that was pretty
and it
good.
It was the key of A.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was the key of A. And I get memories are just flooding in.
I know.
And I don't know what to talk about.
Well,
next.
Let me direct you somewhere. I know that there are, and maybe there'll be a lot more, and that's fine. We've got eons and eons of tapes.
Well,
so we can go forever. But I remember you telling me something about a song that y'all sang that people didn't want you to sing it because it was so sad or so frank. I think it was something about Steal Away.
That's what I was going to tell you.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us about that song.
My sisters and my brother learned Steal Away Home from the road trio.
Oh, okay. You stole it.
We started singing it too.
Yeah, no.
And it was beautiful words. Oh, the glory of the dying, just to die as Jesus died, and let them lay you in a lonely tomb. Only death to selfish living can we rise as Jesus' bride to that glorious life within the, without the awful gloom. And then we'll sail away home, sail away home, sail away home to be with Jesus.
Sail away.
And then we'll steal away home, steal away home, steal away home to be with Jesus.
Do you know the melody of it? Can you sing? Oh,
I don't think I can sing right
it,
now.
Well, let me ask you, is it steal away?
No.
Steal away?
No.
That's a different one. That's a Negro spiritual that I'm singing.
Yeah.
Steal away home to be with Jesus. That's not it.
No, this is, it's the very, I'll try to sing it, but okay. I tried to sing before you got here, and it wasn't coming out.
Well, pick a chord, pick anything.
Oh, the glory of the dying, just to die as Jesus died, and let them lay you in a lonely tomb. Only death to selfish living can we rise as Jesus' bride to that glorious life without the awful gloom. And then we'll sail away home, sail away home, sail away home to be with Jesus. And then we'll steal away home, steal away home, steal away home to be with Jesus.
I love it. I love it. That was great, Mother.
Was it?
Yes, it was. It was.
But this, you know what?
Much better than if you were sitting over there at that piano playing and singing. I like that. That sounded great.
Well,
and now I remember it more.
I tried to sing Little Red Schoolhouse. I've tried to see if I could sing it. And I was really an old lady trying to sing.
Well, do you want to try it?
No, not
if it's
right.
Not any good, we can always stop the tape
well,
and back
I've,
up.
I've got to go back to Orpha.
Okay,
Row.
Go back to Orpha. Okay.
We would sing that song. Well, I forgot what I was going to say about it.
Well, let me ask you something, because there was something about that song that people didn't want you to sing it.
Yes,
tell
next,
about that.
The next verse, and I probably forgot it. The next verse was sadder than the first verse.
Okay, I see. So it just made people cry, and it made them feel uncomfortable, so they didn't want you to sing it.
Yeah, I can almost get it. If I'd have thought about it early, I'd have had it down.
Yeah.
But it speaks of gory.
Oh, I see.
Was such a bloody death, you know, that he suffered.
Oh, I see.
And some of it, to me, didn't make sense. I didn't understand it then. I probably would understand it now, but at that time I didn't understand it.
Well, it's sort of like I can relate to it, because I know when I was 8 years old, I didn't understand what I was singing at all.
Yeah.
I only sang what you told me to sing.
Yeah.
And you were probably doing the same thing. You were doing what Papaw told you to sing.
Well, I don't know, but we sang a song at the time, and I'm not going to try to sing it because right now I'm clouding up. It was wartime. Japan had just bombed us, and it was World War II. And the song went, there were three little sisters, and each one had a man. Anyhow, one had a soldier, one had a sailor, and one had a Marine.
Okay.
And we sang that. a lot, and people liked it.
I'll bet.
But I can't remember whether I played the guitar or whether we sang a cappella.
Or if Uncle Eston was playing, he could.
Yeah.
Fumbling around.
He wanted to play for us more than anything, but he just couldn't get it together.
Yeah, we were too jazzy for him.
Well, he was an old man, but he was.
Now, right now, you're talking about Uncle Eston playing for the Bell family.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm talking about the Hayes family then.
Even then, he was old.
Even then.
Wow.
Well, he was much older than us. He wasn't old, but
yeah.
We thought he was old.
Sure. You know, I'm real interested in Uncle Eston's story. Tell me anything else that you can remember about it.
Well, business got so good that there was no Walmart, there was no cut rates. He was an IGA man. That's the company he worked for. And business got so good that little school, that little store couldn't handle it. So they moved and built a huge store next to the jail, and it took up a block, a half a block, the store did. And there was a feed grinding place, and a place for your eggs and feed and hay besides the store. And the restroom was out in the place where the grinding place was. It was out in the country. I mean, out in a different building. And one time, me and Odell, had to go. So we went out there, and we got locked in the restroom. And the sound of that grinder going, nobody could hear us. And we were afraid that we were going to suffocate. It was August. And we had our nose to the cracks. And when they missed us, they knew we were somewhere, and somebody came and found us. But that's one of the things I'll never forget.
Yeah.
See, this thing's that you just wouldn't ever forget.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Just today when I was talking to Mike Sturman, I said, I got to tell you this story. I can't believe I remember this. And, you know, there's certain things that you mm-hmm. remember, and other things that you forget completely, and it's, memory is a funny thing.
Yeah.
So Gatesville was, and let's see, I guess the closest town to Gatesville was Temple or Hamilton?
Temple.
Temple.
And I graduated from Gatesville High School, and Clayton didn't graduate because he joined the Navy. But he did get a GED after that, and he worked at, I believe it was called McCloskey then, but
yeah.
In the hospital,
yeah.
And he started in the kitchen, but that was after I worked for a place in Gatesville called Two Goods, and everybody will remember Two Goods.
Is that T-W-O or T-O-O?
T-O-O.
Two goods.
And everything was red and white. And there was no booths, but there was chairs like the desk chairs. I think that's what they were, painted white and red. And I don't know where I got this talent, but I had a talent that hardly anybody had. I made the hamburgers. And I don't care how many there were, I never wrote a thing down. I could remember everything. If one was different, I knew it. And there was a man from Killeen came up there and hired me right out of that store.
Now, how old were you here now?
I was married.
Oh, this was, okay. Okay.
And Glenda was born. Glenda was 2 years old. And
okay, we'll go back to leading up to that. Go ahead and finish,
okay.
Finish this
anyhow,
story.
But anyhow, a man, D.L. Woods, came to Gatesville and hired me out of that store and hired Clayton, too, also. And I was to teach him how to run it. So we moved to Killeen, and we had a place we called the Sweet Shop. And it was just like Two Goods. We had more business than we could handle. In fact, we had all the school children nearly. And on Friday night or Saturday night, we always had then there was Nickelodeon for music. And we let the kids, the school kids, come in and dance to the Nickelodeon. And that's how their parents knew where they were.
Now, describe
they were at the Sweet Shop.
Describe a Nickelodeon.
A Nickelodeon is a beautiful piece of furniture, all lit up with different colors and everything. And you put in, I think it was a quarter for a record to play.
Or a nickel.
Well, I really don't know. I really don't know.
It might have been a nickel, sort of like the pre-jukebox.
Well, we also had a pinball machine.
Oh, okay.
And so when they weren't dancing, they were playing the pinball machine. And we let them put their money in for the Nickelodeon for the music they wanted, because it was a choice of theirs. But the pinball machine, it didn't cost anything. We took away whatever it took to make it go so they could play the pinball. But that's where the parents knew where their kids were. And we locked the door. We locked the soldiers out, which was not very nice because there was a lot of soldiers in that town. But that's the way we had to have it.
And this was, let's see, this would have been 1948. 48.
Mary, I was pregnant the whole time that I was working.
Yeah.
And Mary was born in October
of 1948.
Yep. Yes. And the place sold, and it just sold it right out from under us before we knew it. And the owner came and told us, well, I sold the place, so you're going to have to find a new job. So Clayton went to work for McCloskey, which was the veterans hospital.
In Temple,
yes. So then is when he started working for the government.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's something that we've talked a lot about you, but you know, the other half of your life is Daddy. What can you tell me about him during? You've already told me that he bounced the basketball to the rhythm band, and you told me that he also participated in the regional meets, and he was a declaimer. He recited poetry. You told me about that.
And
what else about him?
Well, he had lots of talent, and this is before we married.
Yeah.
He could sing, and I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
So, how did he learn how to sing? He was the youngest of 12, right?
He was, well, there was 12 born to them, but just 10 lived.
Uh-huh.
But he also came from a musical family.
Okay, tell me about that.
His Uncle Jim.
Storm.
No.
Oh, no?
Uncle Jim Bell.
Jim Bell, okay.
Mr. Bell's brother, older brother.
Okay.
Could play 7 instruments at one time. And he didn't think anybody else could do that. So we went down to see Uncle Jim one time. I had some yellow shoes. I don't know. It just, he'll never, he would never forget the yellow shoes that I had. But I played the guitar and the harmonica at the same time. And he had never had anybody that could do that.
Wow.
They could play a guitar and they could play a harmonica, but they couldn't do it at the same time.
Yeah.
And he had the thing that goes around your neck that holds right. the harmonica. And I didn't know I could do it either, but I did.
Okay.
But he was a musician, and Ms. Bell was a Cantrell before she married, and they were musically inclined too. And I don't know much about them. I know that Brent Cantrell, that was Grandma Bell's brother, was a B-man. And Clayton's daddy was a B-man. And every Saturday you would see their pickups around the courthouse. And they would be sailing honey. I wish I could remember how much it was, how much they paid for it. But now, a pint cost you $5.
Well, let me insert this. And I've told my friends on Facebook this story. And that is that, you know, Daddy, when I was a little boy, got in the garage, he had all of his beekeeping stuff. And he used to keep his bees out at your brother's house, Curtis Hayes' house.
Yes.
And I was telling my friends on Facebook that I believe that if you put all the equipment in front of me, I could probably process honey because I watched Daddy so much.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point is this. Daddy, of course, would put all of his honey in these little bears. And he would paint the eyeballs on there with paint and paintbrush, just dot the eyes. And he had labels printed up that went on the cap of the bear to make it look like a little hat with his name and address and telephone number. And he sent me out in the neighborhood to sell it. And I would go up to somebody's house, I'd knock on the door, and they'd come to the door, and I would say, "Would you like to buy some honey? My daddy made it, and it's only 50 cents. So we were selling the little bears for 50 cents back in about 1959, 60, somewhere around in there. So there's no telling what they were selling a quart for, maybe a quarter, who knows, how much a quart of honey would cost if Grandpa Bell was selling honey down at the square. It probably wasn't very much. They probably weren't charging very much.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Now, I remember Daddy telling me a story about Grandpa Bell and how he would get a watermelon out of the field, and he'd be coming back to the house, and he'd be yelling. What would he be yelling? Do you remember?
No.
Get the knife!
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Get the knife! So anyway, so Jim Bell was a musician.
Yes.
And all of Daddy's family were kind of musical, but
yes.
were his brothers and sisters singers or players, or what did they do?
Well,
anything?
They could sing on tune.
Yeah.
And if you could stay on a tune and sing harmony, like most people did, it was good. But they didn't practice it. They didn't increase their talent. They had other talents.
So what else can you tell about your love, the love of your life before y'all got married? What else can you say about him? What kind of work did he do as he was growing up? You know, you said that he drove a truck.
Yes.
When he was 14, but what else did he do?
Well, when I went to Pecos and he went to Texas City, he started working in the tinsmith at Texas City, and he also drove a truck. And that's what happened during that part of his life before we married. Then whenever the Japanese bombed us. He was only 17, but he got in the Navy. And we were stationed in Kingsville, near Kingsville. He rode. I was picking cotton and doing all the things I'd always done, and I got a letter from him to come to Kingsville that we were going to get married.
And how did that go over with your daddy?
That didn't go over very good with Mr. Bell or my daddy. However, my daddy didn't have much to say. And Mama made me a wedding dress. It's a suit, and I have a picture, our wedding picture of that suit. But they wouldn't sell Clayton a marriage license because he was just 17.
And you were 18.
And I was 18. And so he would get the license and he would send them to his daddy to sign. We could have got married if Mr. Bell would sign it, but he wouldn't sign it. He'd throw them in the fireplace. And that happened about 3 or 4 times. And Mr. Bell would not sign the marriage license. So a friend of ours, on the 22nd of December, we were downtown in Killeen with another couple, Sailor and his wife. Their name was Edwards. She was Lorraine and he was Wesley. Ooh, I remember. And I can't believe that. And so he told Clayton he'd get his driver's license for him. He was older than Clayton. He was 21. And he got our driver's license with his identification. And that very night that we got them, we decided to get married. So we were walking towards home from the city. And it's on a Wednesday night. And there was the Baptist church having Wednesday night services. And we just walked down the aisle and told the man we wanted to get married. So they took us to another little room, probably a classroom. And Wesley Edwards, the one that got the license, was sitting there grinning like a possum. And he was so proud of himself because we were getting married. And this goes much further even than you know about. But we got married that night and we slept in the room with Wesley and his wife on a mattress on the floor. That was our honeymoon.
That was in what room?
Well, I worked at a hotel.
Oh, okay.
And for my room and board. And I cleaned rooms. And I got the little boy off to school. I did everything except cook. I didn't have to cook. And the woman at the, I thought I could call her name, but I can't. At the hotel, she would feed. She had a long table in the dining room. And she would cook and feed. About 6 men would come and eat at her house. I don't know how much they paid her or anything. But I cleaned the rooms. And Mr. and Ms. Bell came down there to see Clayton and Layman and Roland were in uniform and they were going overseas again. And so that was the last time they was going to see each other, they thought. And Ms. Bell was in the bathroom. There wasn't but one bathroom. And I had to open the door and go in there and get the little boy's shoes so I could get him to school. And Miss Bell thought that was, she just nearly fainted because I did that. And I guess I'll never forget it because she was mad and embarrassed and everything. But then I started, after we got married, I started working for a grocery store, and I went to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
What town was this in?
This was in Kingsville.
Okay.
And we made sandwiches for the sailors. And I worked there for a good while. And something that's really funny that I've got to tell, if I haven't told it already.
Go ahead.
I had never seen a gas stove or anything because we didn't have it. And Clayton would get up and go to work early, and then I would get up later. And it was cold down there one morning, and I saw that stove, so I decided to light it. So I turned it on, and then I went to look for a match. And I singed all my eyelashes off, my eyebrows, part of my hair. But that, I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And practice makes perfect. I know how to do one now.
Guess you learned, didn't you?
Yeah, I learned. But then he was stationed at Kingsville. Then he, and Edwin Morgan, I've got to say this. Edwin Morgan was born on the same day he was, and they joined the Navy the same day. They went to school the same day, same place. And Edwin was stationed with him at Kingsville, and they were supposed to go be on the Shangri-La ship. And somehow, I don't know whether it was snow, but it was something, they were going to Rhode Island, and they were supposed to take their ship, the Shangri-La, and the ship left because the train couldn't get there because of snow or something. It was going up the coast from Kingsville to Rhode Island, and Clayton never did leave the States, and so we lived in Rhode Island. And about 2.5 years later, our first baby was born.
So tell me, before you went to Rhode Island, what was going on whenever y'all were living at the hotel? Were y'all trying to have a baby or anything, or what?
No, we moved from that hotel right away. It was wasn't easy to find a place to live because there were so many sailors there. But we found a room, and it had twin beds. So we used one. And Clayton wanted it. He thought he was going to ship out at any time. And we wanted a baby. I wanted a baby from him, and he wanted an heir. Of course, he thought it would be a boy. But it wasn't, and so we had a girl, and...
But this wasn't in Kingsville?
No, this was...
So y'all went to Rhode Island?
Yes.
How did you get to Rhode Island?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Really? You can't remember? We know he went by ship. And
I don't know.
You must have gone by car.
No, it wasn't by car. I must have went by train again.
Oh, you might have.
I said I wasn't going to ever ride another train, but I guess that's any way to get there. I don't remember.
So you got to Rhode Island?
Oh, yes, I do.
What?
Clayton, I went by bus.
Oh, you did?
Yes. We went to Cohasset. It's another town up there. And it wasn't Cohasset we were there at, but... it was another town where Glenda was born, and I cannot remember it. I'd have to look at the birth certificate to know where she was born. But we did get pregnant. And
In
Rhode Island.
And where did you live in Rhode Island?
We lived at one place we lived two or three different places. One place we lived at, we didn't own a clock. And Clayton had to ride the bus to the base every morning, but there was a man across the hall from us that had a clock, and Clayton would go in there every morning to see what time it was.
Oh my.
Everybody trusted everybody.
Yeah.
We didn't have the same kind of world. And
you didn't lock your door either at night, did
no,
you?
No, nobody shut their door even. And we were married December the 22nd, 1943, and Glenda was born in July of 1945. And then we moved out in the country. It was a man's chicken house. But because of so many people, so many sailors, they cleaned it up and they made it a bedroom and a narrow living room. And I can't remember the town where Glenda was born, but we had Glenda. And my mother came up there. Yes.
Wow.
She came up there and showed me how to have a baby, how to change a diaper and all that stuff. But the day that she was born at 8 o'clock one morning, Clayton just took me there. Oh, I got to tell this. We didn't know where the hospital was. And Clayton had just rotated the tires, and they were wobbling. It was all I could do to stay in that little old Plymouth because I was in such pain. You know, I had a hold of the roof and everything else. But he just dropped me off at the hospital, and I was in labor 4 hours. He had to be at the base. He had to answer for his name.
Oh, my.
Yes, and he didn't get to see Glenda until after 4 o'clock that day. So he came to the hospital to see me, and she had what looked like a birthmark on her, between her eyebrow and her eye. And Clayton just knew that my daddy's birthmark, my dad had a birthmark on his face, and that she was going to have that birthmark. But that's where the doctor had his thumb when he pulled her out. And I got fish nearly every day in the hospital.